Everyone loves a happy ending, right?
Of course.
And everyone loves a good Bible melodrama, right? Last week we helped to describe the story of Joseph and his brothers with a spontaneous melodrama where people came up here and acted out parts and everything, and it was fun, and I warned you that we were going to do that again this week, didn't I? So, we're not... Yes, we are. We're going to do that. So I need to have some new actors or the same actors to come forward. This week, for our spontaneous melodrama, we need someone to play Joseph, who is now grown up, important, and forgiving, and he gets to cry. So you got to work on your drama there, a little crying going on. And I think maybe he's taken on some of his father's dramatic tendencies from last week. Do you remember the dramatic tendencies? You know, from Jacob last week. Then we've got Joseph's attendants. They don't do much in this play. They just leave. They're there, and then they get to leave. And then we have some Egyptians. All they do is hear something and go, oh. And Pharaoh, and I guess Pharaoh's attendants, all they get to do really is kind of hear and react. Easy parts right there. And then we need some brothers. One of them's going to be Benjamin. And lots of crying for the brothers, too. And then Jacob, he's not really in the scene, he's not in the Bible verses, but we're going to kind of put him in just a little bit anyway, because he's important to the story. So, if you want to be any of those parts, you got to come up now, or I'll just point to you. Come on up, drama people, come on, come on. Yeah, just come up. Matthew, stand up, get the ball rolling. Come on, Nikki, you want to come up? Carly, you're coming up here, come on. And Pam, and Beverly, and Fred, yeah, come on up. Yeah, Andrew, you want to come up? Jessica, it's your birthday this week, didn't you want to come up and act here? Yeah, come on. Anyone else? Youth? Adults?
Okay,
go stand in the middle right there. All right, back over a little bit there. So we need a Joseph. Joseph? You want to be Joseph? Okay, stand up there, Andrew. And we need, who wants to be attendants where you just get to leave? Few of you can, if you want to just be an attendant, you get to leave. And Pharaoh, and we'll have you like maybe go in and come back. We need brothers. Remember, everyone's going to be a brother. You get to cry a lot. And we need a Jacob, the most dramatic. You're going to be Jacob again. So we'll have you, you have to go like, my son! You know, like that. Let's hear it.
My son!
Very good, very good, very good. Okay. Here we go. When we last saw our hero, Joseph, he was just lifted up out of a pit. Only to be forced into slavery in Egypt. Much has happened to Joe since then. He's been trusted, betrayed, thrown into prison, inquired upon, trusted again, and now elevated to a position of authority. It's time for him to exact his revenge on his brothers, right? No. Sure, Joseph had some fun with his brothers. They didn't recognize him when they came in there to get some food, so they came to grovel for help. It was kind of like this. Grovel. Do some groveling. Say, give us the food, give us the food, give us the food. There you go. And now you can stand up. And Joseph agreed to give them some food, but then he planted evidence on one of them, evidence of a theft and betrayal, one of his youngest brothers. So do you think that he was testing them? Joseph, were you testing them to see if they turned into fine, respectable men instead of jealous and murderous brothers? Probably. So as you look at everyone and say, I was probably testing them. Let's say it really loud.
I was probably testing them.
And now, let's find that happy ending as we continue our melodramatic rendition of Genesis 45, 1 through 15, as paraphrased in The Message. Ready? Joseph couldn't hold himself in any longer. Keeping up a front before all of his attendants, he cried out, leave!
Leave!
Clear out!
Clear out!
Everyone, leave!
Everyone, leave!
So there was no one with Joseph when he identified himself to his brothers. Some of the attendants pretend to leave and then come back so you can be brothers. There we go. So they left. But Joseph's sobbing was so violent that the Egyptians couldn't help but hear him. And soon the news was reported to Pharaoh's palace, who also heard him. Then Joseph spoke to his brothers. He said, "I am Joseph.
I am Joseph.
Is my father really still alive?
Is my father really still alive?"
Off in the distance, so Jacob couldn't hear this part, he was very much alive. He was over here. He was over here, so everyone could see him. And he was shouting at the top of his lungs, "I'm alive!
I'm alive!"
He was really shouting at the top of his lungs, "I'm alive!" As loud as
"I'm alive!"
But Joseph couldn't hear him. But his brothers couldn't say a word. They were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. But they were still speechless. "Come closer to me," Joseph said.
"Come closer to me."
They came closer. "I am Joseph, your brother."
"I am Joseph, your brother."
"The one you sold into Egypt."
"The one you sold into Egypt."
"But don't feel badly."
"But don't feel badly."
"Don't blame yourselves."
"Don't blame yourself."
"God was behind it."
"God was behind it."
"God sent me here ahead of you to save lives."
"God sent me here ahead of you to save lives."
"There's been a famine in the land."
"There's been a famine in the land."
"Already 2 years."
"Already 2 years."
"And it's going to continue 5 more."
"And it's going to continue 5 more."
"And God sent me on ahead."
"And God sent me on ahead."
"To pave the way."
"To pave the way."
"Together, to pave the way."
"To pave the way."
That was pretty good. Want to try it again? "To pave the way."
"To pave the way."
"And to make sure."
"And to make sure."
"There was a remnant in the land."
"In the land."
"To save your lives."
"To save your lives."
"In an amazing act."
"In an amazing act."
"Of deliverance."
"Of deliverance."
"So you see."
"So you see."
You're getting into this now. I was hoping that you would. It wasn't you who sent me."
"It wasn't you who sent me."
"But it was God."
"But it was God."
"He sent me in place."
"He sent me in place."
"As a father to Pharaoh."
"As a father to Pharaoh."
"Put me in charge."
"Put me in charge."
"Made me ruler of all Egypt."
"And made me ruler of all Egypt."
"Hurry back to my father."
"Hurry back to my father."
"Tell him, you're Joseph. You're Joseph? Your son Joseph says, I'm master of all Egypt."
Your son Joseph says, I'm master of all Egypt."
"Come as fast as you can."
"Come as fast as you can."
"Join me here."
"Join me here."
"I'll give you a place to live."
"I'll give you a place to live."
"Food to eat."
"Food to eat."
"For you, your children."
"For you and your children."
"Your grandchildren."
"Grandchildren."
"All your animals." "Everything else."
"Everything else."
"I'll take care of you completely."
"I'll take care of you completely."
"Still 5 more years of famine ahead."
"Still 5 more years of famine ahead."
"I'll be sure your needs are taken care of."
"I'll be sure your needs are taken care of."
"Look at me."
"Look at me."
"You can see for yourselves."
"You can see for yourselves."
"It's me."
"It's me."
"It's my mouth."
"It's my mouth."
"I'll turn around and show people it's your mouth." "It's my eyes."
"My eyes."
"Me."
"Me."
"Telling you all of this."
"Telling you all of this."
"Tell my father about me in Egypt."
"Tell my father about me in Egypt."
Meanwhile, Jacob didn't really hear that, but he was thinking, "I wish Joseph was alive and living in Egypt.
What?
I wish Joseph was alive and living in Egypt."
"I wish Joseph was alive and living in Egypt."
And he thought it in such dramatic fashion that it burst out of him like a loud scream. "I wish Joseph was alive."
"I wish Joseph was alive."
He screamed it. That was fun. Then Joseph... Oh, we got to have someone play Benjamin. Matthew, you going to be Benjamin? I don't think you're going to want to be Benjamin in this particular instance, Nikki. Okay, you would feel weird. So, he threw himself on his brother Benjamin and wept. Joseph did. Tears of joy. Benjamin, his smaller younger brother, also wept. They hugged each other. They kissed each other. All his brothers wept. Tears of joy. They all hugged each other.
What?
They all hugged each other. I'm not going to tell them to kiss each other. And finally, they were able to talk.
What?
And finally, they were able to talk.
He's alive, Rob.
He's alive.
I'm alive.
And a little later, Jacob came and joined them. And he said, I'm here.
I'm here.
And he was really excited. And they all cried. And they hugged and kissed him. And then they all went back to their seats. The end. Excellent job, excellent job. To sum up, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers as their brother. He told them that not only was all forgiven, but also that what they did was necessary for God's will to happen, so that the people could be fed. It was necessary, even though they kind of blamed themselves. So what's the point here from this story? You know, if you see this on stage or you see it at a grade school or whatever, it's just, you know, it's a fun story, fun songs and everything like that. It's really fun to do a melodrama for it. But just like last week, it's kind of difficult to find, what's the point? What's the good point? What can you learn from this story? And let me offer a couple of thoughts. One is the theory of it all works out. Like in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. However, I don't think that Joseph's brothers were really on the God team when they sold him into slavery, when they threatened to kill him, when they were really angry. It may be that God's work was getting done, but couldn't it have gotten done differently? Couldn't Joseph have somehow gotten to Egypt without getting sold into slavery there? I don't know. I'm not sure that I could look at all the circumstances of my life and say, it had to happen that way for God's will to happen. I can often see how things have worked out. Things that I've done that were good decisions or things that I've done that were bad decisions that God has directed, but couldn't I have gotten from point A to point B without doing that? So I don't want to say to anybody when they're in difficult or tragic circumstances, like Joseph was in the pit, that, oh, God's going to work all things out for good. It's all going to be fine. Don't you worry. Things are going to be great. Because too often, situations don't work out. Let's be realistic. Sometimes bad situations stay bad. You don't know how they work out. I think that a good thing to say in that situation, instead of everything's going to be fine, I guess you can give reassurance, but you could also give reassurance by saying this situation stinks. I wish things weren't happening like this, but I'm going to keep walking forward in faith, and I'm going to trust that God knows more than I do, and that God is here, and God is ready to provide comfort, and ready to help me keep going. I don't know where it's going to end up, but it's not over yet. And I said something like that last week. But then I have another thought, and I think it's the most important one from this. Something vital in our lives. It's the necessity of forgiveness. Without Joseph forgiving his brothers, the story doesn't continue. Being forgiven of the things that we have done to others and offering forgiveness so that our anger and blame doesn't tear us apart. See, I think Joseph held on to his anger for a long, long time. And I think the evidence there is that he never tried to reach his brothers or his father when he was in Egypt all those times. I don't think he forgot about home. I think he was still angry about what happened at home and he didn't want anything to do with them. I think that his lack of forgiveness tore him apart too. That's evidenced by after he had given them a hard time, planting evidence and making them really feel like he had to get back at him somehow before he forgave them. But he just couldn't hold it in any longer. And he started crying and weeping. And all of that anger, all of that non-forgiveness, that unforgiveness kind of came out there. And you know, I'm not talking about God's forgiveness here. Because God forgives. You know, we mess up, God forgives. We mess up, God redeems. God doesn't hold on to all of this anger and then erupt. God doesn't get torn apart by the anger and the blame. No matter what you may hear, especially during an election season from some ought-to-know-better religious folks, whenever there's some tragedy or disaster, God isn't holding on to a bunch of anger and then bursting out and causing something awful to happen. God forgives. But we don't always follow. And I think the story teaches us that it's necessary for us to follow. Because we're slow to forgive. We're slow to forgive others. We're slow to forgive ourselves. And so often, the ones that we're slow to forgive are not the people that are, you know, just passing acquaintances. It's easy to forgive someone that makes a mistake or you don't like what they did, but you don't hold on to the anger. But we hold on to the anger in our families. We hold on to the anger with the ones who are close to us. I know that I hold on to the anger when things happen in my family and I'm angry and I hold on to that. I might say I forgive, but it's still eating me up inside. And I think that our Bible reading today, it challenges us to get past that anger. I don't think it challenges us to give our brothers, sisters, our families a hard time and, you know, really dig it in there before we forgive them. I think that's part of the story that I'd rather we didn't learn from. It challenges us to get past the anger, the blame, the self-righteousness, and to ask for, to offer, and to be ready for a wave of forgiveness. And then, while we're at it, we can also be ready for this time of God's unexpected blessings. And let's pray. Thank you, God, that we can have fun in worship. Thank you that we can learn during our time of worship. Thank you so much for your forgiveness. Help us to realize that forgiveness. Help us to offer that forgiveness. Help us to receive that forgiveness from all. In Jesus' name, amen.